In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
Christ. Some of us here use an alarm clock to wake up in the morning, I presume. I have to admit something. I haven't used an alarm clock for 20 plus years. I think I got this from my father. Some people have this internal clock, and I'm up 5-6 in the morning, between 5 and 6 regularly, without a clock, and something inside of me just says it's time to get up. And during certain times of the year, you know, you hear birds, or you see little bits of light or leaves, and it's morning, and I wake up. Days like today, when it's still dark, close to 7 o'clock, I remember back in the school days when we had to wake up with an alarm, you know, and how it shocks you, and how it just, especially if you're in the deepest kind of sleep, it can be such a violent awakening to hear that alarm. And then you struggle and you fight, and it's like the worst thing in the world, the hardest thing to get out of bed when you hear that. So I'm reminded of that today, and reminded of how the alarm calls us to wake up to the reality of a new day. Just like in the gospel, we hear Jesus talking about the Word of God. The Word of God, which calls us, and it calls us every day. And we hear the various ways in which the Word of God calls us. It calls us to the reality of our life in the kingdom, our life with God. So it's kind of like an alarm clock for our spiritual life, the Word of God. In the Gospel today, we have something kind of unique. We have a parable, and then we have Jesus giving an explanation of the parable. You don't always get that in the Gospels. And he gives the explanation to his disciples. Jesus talks about the way in which God reveals himself to his people, and it's just a general term, the Word. And we heard, of course, the various ways that people can receive or not receive that Word. And we won't go into detail because it's already explained. If you heard the Gospel, you know what that means. What we do want to talk about today and explain is how at the end of this Gospel, Jesus says this kind of curious thing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And of course, the disciples asked him what the parable meant, and Jesus said, before he explained it, he said, to you has been given to know the things of the kingdom of God. But for other people, they have to hear it in parables. And then Jesus uses a quotation from the Old Testament, so that seeing they may not perceive, and that hearing they may not understand. Also kind of curious. So what does that mean, and why would God want us not to hear or not to see? Well, we go back to the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah specifically, where God calls Isaiah to be his messenger, and he says, I need somebody to go to my people. And Isaiah says, I'm here, God. Send me, I'll go. God says, go to my people and tell them that seeing, they won't see, they won't understand. And hearing, they won't perceive. And then God tells Isaiah, their hearts have grown weary and tired, and their ears have grown dull. There's not anything wrong with the Word of God, and there's not anything wrong with our sense of hearing or seeing. That's what that means. The only thing that's wrong, if there is something wrong, is in our hearts. There's something wrong with the way we receive God. And by saying, let he who has ears to hear, hear, the responsibility is now on us. If we're given the sense of hearing and the sense of sight, then all we have to do is have a good heart, and we will receive it. So we know from the parable that certain instances, this doesn't happen. And Jesus tells us why. God's word falls by the wayside, right? And then what happens? We trample over it, and then birds come and devour it. It misses. Perhaps we abuse it, we neglect it. We treat it like the swine treat the pearls. In another parable, it's the exact same expression. Trample it underfoot, so we disregard it. In another example, the word falls on the rocks. And we might receive it joyfully for a little while, but as soon as we're tempted, we fall away. In times of temptation, fall away. This is kind of like when something really trying or testing happens in our life, and we don't understand it. We say, God has forsaken me, or God doesn't love me, or he can't save me, I'm too far gone. Something like that. So we fall away, we're tempted away. We receive it just for a little bit, just like seeds that fall on rocks and never grow because they don't have any moisture. We are tempted away. Sometimes the word falls amidst the thorns. And this is a good place to talk about how we all have to deal with the pleasures and the pressures and the cares of the world. Because like those thorns, they grow up with the word, but they end up choking it. And it doesn't bear any fruit. So we can often be bogged down by cares, unnecessary worries, troubles, things that don't pertain to God because we're not trusting him enough. We're not fully and totally putting ourselves at the mercy of God. What it requires in the last example is, as Jesus said, a good and an honest heart. That's like good soil to receive the word. And then we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit in multiples and a hundredfold. You know, the question came up recently. I was doing an interfaith dialogue and Christian belief. I talked about the Orthodox faith, and the Jews talked about their source of holy books, and the Muslims as well, and how that's revealed to them. And the question came up, how does Christianity understand revelation? You know, we've got this book, and we talked about the Gospels in this dialogue. We've got our Gospels and the Holy Scriptures. Do we understand, the question was, have a sense of like a continuing revelation, an ongoing revelation? Where does revelation begin and end, or does it end? And the answer was, it's contained in this book, in the Gospels, which tell us the story of Jesus, which proclaim to us everything God has done and is doing for us. But it's not limited to that. And I had to point out for everybody something that we believe very firmly in our faith. This book, the Holy Gospels, which we have on our altar, is a source of revelation indeed. But they were written, they were conceived, they were compiled, they were given to us to be heard, and in a very specific context, the context of the gathering of the people. The Gospels weren't written to be published and bound and then taken home and put away, maybe taken out whenever we felt like reading the Bible. This is alien to the spirit of what we've been given. The Gospels were written for a liturgical context. So, in summary, I told the people, if you're a Christian, if you're a believing Christian, and you believe what God has given, you go to church. You go to church and you worship with the other Christians. And that's why there's a sermon in church. We read the gospel, we hear it, and then it's explained. It's expounded upon. We learn how to apply it. What does it mean? There has to be a sermon in the liturgy. And of course, our revelation doesn't stop there. In fact, we would say it's not even limited to the Bible. First and foremost, the revelation of God that we've received, the Word of God, is the experience of a person, the experience of Jesus Christ. How do we experience Jesus? We know what he's done for us. We hear. If we receive it, what do? We experience it. From the moment of our baptism, every day of our life, we have to experience what it means to be a son of God through Jesus Christ. We come to church. We hear the word in that context. We receive the life-giving body and blood of Jesus, shed for our salvation and for the life of the world. That's the Word of God present in us, the living Word of God. There's no substitute for this, beloved in Christ. Being a Christian doesn't mean I believe in God and I stay home. It means being with the other believers and enacting this liturgical act. The one act that makes us children of God and realizes who we are is called Eucharist, Thanksgiving. We hear what God has done for us and we recognize it with an act of thanksgiving. It's worship, it's praise, and it's thanksgiving to God. So we don't want to forget this when we hear talk about the Word and how we receive the Word and what we are to do with it, the many ways we have of responding to what God has done for us. We need to have good hearts. There's nothing wrong with our ears. There's nothing wrong with our eyes. What needs work is our hearts. If we want to fulfill what God created us for, it's to bear fruit 100-fold, like the good earth, the good soil that receives the word in the gospel today. Beloved, God is calling us. He's calling us daily. He's calling us through the Bible. He's calling us through the Gospels. He's calling us through this worship here today at St. George Antiochian Orthodox Church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He's calling us through his holy body and blood about to be lifted up and offered to God in the oblation and given to us as food and drink in the gift of the Eucharist. He's calling us, beloved in Christ. Make sure we hear properly. Make sure we have our ears attuned and our eyes peeled so that we could receive it with a good and honest heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.